We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
This is a new series starting today called Personal Best. And I'm just thinking about what is our personal best and what is your personal best. But I want to bring it to you in light of the Bible. And the Bible has some great moments of people at their personal best. But I want to break it down into spirit, soul, and body. We have a spirit man. Amen. We have a soul. You know what your soul is? It's the part of who you can't see, but really determines a lot of who you are. It's your mind, your thinking, it's your will, and it's your emotions. That is your soul. It is intangible, but it has the most tangible manifestation by the quality of your life. You with me here? So you have a spirit, you have, and Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but forfeits his soul, forfeits his eternal life, and then you have a body. That's the body you have today. Anybody kind of reasonably happy with your body? Anybody reasonably happy with your body? Only two people raise their hands. Praise God. How many think there's a little bit of improvement in your body? Can I see your hands? How many wouldn't raise your hand no matter what I ask you to do? How many just don't want me talking about your body? Okay, so here we go. Now I've got to figure out how to reach the iPad while I keep pedaling. This is very clumsy. Praise the Lord. But Josh, how are you doing, man? How many calories have you burned so far? 33 calories. Well done. Let's go to a few Bible verses. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26. And as I start this, Joe Riddle, by the way, down in Seaboard, he let the cat out of the bag. I had a little personal best goal for me. And he told all our church leaders, which I wasn't going to do, but he told everybody, I've actually signed up to compete in a triathlon in July. Now, don't be too impressed, please. It's a small, baby, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny little triathlon. It's called a sprint triathlon. And so I've been riding a bike now since October last year. I've been riding a bike at home and I've been enjoying it, but I got a little bored just riding the bike all the time. Of course, indoors, weather's cold, you know, winter, it's been handy. And so I was talking to a guy who I know is a super freak fit guy, and his family comes from a super freak fit family. And so I said to him, I said, look, I want to do a triathlon, but I'm no good at swimming. I don't think I'm in terms of distance, you know, I can swim, but I'd like you to, you know, help me out here. So he said, this is what we need to do. We need to get your baseline. We need to figure out what is your skill level today. And so I said, well, how do we do that? He goes, get down the Great Neck Rec Center, because I live just around the corner here, and get in that pool, which is 25 meters long, and swim two laps, rest 30 seconds, swim another two laps, rest 30 seconds, keep doing that until 20 minutes has expired. Then tell me, how many laps did you do? And so I said, all right, I can do that. And then I said, I hope I can do two. I don't know. I mean, you know, I got a pool in my backyard and I can swim in that. But and so I rang him up and I said, mate, I did 16 laps in 20 minutes. And he kind of, that's not very good, by the way. He said, well, now we have a baseline. He didn't say that wasn't very good, but I could tell by his response. He was like, we got some work to do. And so then he finally came down to watch me swim. And he said to me, who taught you how to swim? I said, well, you know, you're raised in Australia. Everybody swims in Australia. But all my swimming has been scuba diving. And all my swimming was always breaststroke. And so I used to win the school swimming competitions every year, all through high school, with breaststroke. What I didn't realize is my swim form is for a scuba dive frog kick, and my swim form is for a, you know, breaststroke, which is you're not kicking your legs. So he said, you're dragging half your body through the water. You need to get your legs and your torsos on the top. Your core. He says, you're drowning as you swim. And so he actually gave me swimming lessons. And so I wanted to start putting some measurables. I wanted to get a personal best. Anybody knows anything about going to a gym? It's all about your personal best. And you stick it on the wall. And you don't like someone beating your personal best. But it makes you better when someone beats your personal best, because now you got to get on top of the board, right? Have I got any gym folk agreeing with me here? You're saying, I want a personal best. And you're not necessarily competing with everybody else. You kind of really are competing with yourself, if the truth be told, and improving it. And so he said to me, well, if you learn how to swim properly, you'll swim a lot better. And I'm thinking, I've got this first part of the triathlon is the swim. And I figured out why the swimming is the first part of a triathlon. Because that's where, if you do that last and you're exhausted from the bike ride and the run, you could drown. So let's get the swim in first so at least you don't drown. There's wisdom in that. So now I'm doing 40 laps, no problem at all, doing it in about 25 minutes. And I'm thinking, I'm getting somewhere. I'm getting some development, some strength. And I still need help. I still got my little floaty between my legs, trying to hold my legs up. I got my little fins trying to figure out. I didn't realize I didn't know how to leg kick. I'm like a five-year-old in a pool, like with floaties. It's hilarious. And this thing's coming up in July. How many know there's room for improvement? Now, the bike thing, that's easy. I can do the bike thing. Matter of fact, I like the bike. It's a lot of fun. The only thing I had to do was get used to the seat. Dear God in heaven, what contortionist invented the seat on a bicycle? And they say, just keep doing it. Your bum will get used to it. It's not true. Your bum gets numb. And that's all I know. It's like a guitarist. He's got to get calluses on his... I've got calluses on my butt cheeks. I won't show you. How many are glad I won't? Sharon doesn't want to see that. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26. We better get to the Bible now. Okay. It says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. He says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body. All right, let's just go home right now. Let's just stop right there. I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Here's Paul saying, I've got to discipline my body. I want to talk to you about your personal best. Look at Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Do you realize that it is Christ that makes you strong? It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, in whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We ought to take care of our body. But I want to talk to you about spirit, soul, and body. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes in the strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. One more scripture, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to talk to you about your personal best. I started thinking about some of my personal best in my life. Anybody who knows me knows I love baseball. I played for Slim's Texaco baseball team in Queens, New York. Slim's Texaco. When I was 7 years of age, I was the shortstop. That's the best position in baseball. I love being the shortstop. And I'm a big Mets fan. I was born in Queens. How many know if you were born in Queens, you're going to be a Mets fan? And so in 1969, I remember when the New York Mets beat the Orioles. And they won the World Series. And then again in 1986, oh, they beat the Boston Red Sox and they won the World Series. And I remember for me, when I was picked to play on the state representative team in Australia and to play baseball, that was a personal best for me. That was a moment. That was an accomplishment. I've run 3 rock and roll half marathons. That's a personal best for me. I think we got a picture of me. There I am. Look at that. Dear God, let's move on. And I remember the day I got certified as a scuba diver. That was another personal best for me. And I remember the first time I went to South Africa and hunted my first animal. That was a personal best for me. Some of you don't like the picture. Sorry. And, you know, and I took Josh. I remember Josh went over there with me and he said, "Dad, this is the best day of my life." The day he first did his first hunt. What a good day that was. I remember one of my goals in golf is to shoot in the 70s. I've always been in the 80s or the 90s. And I set a goal. One day, I'm going to shoot in the 70s. And with my good buddy, Robert Cameron, who was my witness. Wasn't that true, Rob? Shot in the 70s. Is that a true story, Rob? Praise the Lord. Amen. Robert, is that a true story? Okay, I remember, you know, I love the fish. And so I've gotten a citation in a shark. I've gotten a citation with a marlin, several marlin. I've gotten citations with striped bass. I've gotten, these are good things, citation, not a ticket. It's a recognition of an accomplishment. An Amoco Jack, dolphin. And I love it, personal best, riding motorcycles. One of the best things I love to do in my life is to ride motorcycles. I remember we were raising money for Wave City Care. And they said, "Steve, if you jump out of a plane, we'll give extra money to Wave City Care." So I said, "I'm jumping." And so I got attached to a Navy SEAL. And I said, "Let's do this." And he goes, "Well, what kind of dive do you want? Do you want a tame dive? Do you want a rough dive?" And I said, "I don't care. If I pass out, just make sure I don't break my legs when you land. I mean, let's do somersaults. Let's do loop the loops. I just don't care." I was so excited, true story, I was so excited that literally when we got to the door where you jump out of the plane, he was still making sure everything was secure, and I thought we were ready, so I jumped. And he grabbed me and says, "I've got to tie us up properly." He goes, "I've never taken anybody skydiving who was jumped out of the plane. I normally have to push them." Have a look at that photo, by the way. There's only one thing wrong with that photo. That was done in the middle of winter. I think people gave $10,000 if I did this. And if you give me $10,000, I'll jump out of a plane. I can be bought. And it was for Wave City Care. And so, but look at that. There's anything wrong with that photo. I had no gloves. It was winter. I couldn't feel my hands for 3 days. And, you know, in terms of life and encouraging my own children, my personal best, I think about my daughter when she joined the Norfolk Christian School cheerleading squad. They went down to Florida and won the private school's national championship. That's a moment for our family with a personal best. And over here on my left, Josh was part of an indoor soccer team, and they won the national indoor soccer championship. There's a personal best. My son Sam, sitting over there, when he was the goalkeeper at Lynn Haven Middle School, it was the divisional championship match, and their school not only won that, but Sam got most valuable player as the goalkeeper. That's well done. You want to see my best personal best? Here's my best personal best. Look at this photo right here. That's the day I got married. Praise the Lord. Look at that beautiful bride. I'm pedaling faster. I just get excited thinking about that day. And now another personal best is being a grandfather. And there's my grandson, Jax, the rock and roller. But now I've got two more granddaughters coming. Do you want to see a picture of my granddaughters? Have a look at this. There's the ultrasound. That's Liv and that's Lennon. I don't know which one's which, but there they are. I wonder if you were to do a bit of a reflection across your life. What are your personal bests? What are some of the things that you might actually, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." I wonder if you were to do an inventory of your life so far, what would be the highlights of your personal best? Without a doubt, the greatest personal best for me is the day I gave my life to Jesus. Without a doubt, everything changed that day. So I'm thinking about we're made of spirit, soul, and we're made with a body. And I'm thinking about we've got to develop all three. I know some people that are very, very determined to make sure they're in the best shape of their life. And I think that is praiseworthy. I think that is admirable. But what does it profit a man if he's in great shape and he ends up missing out on heaven? I mean, what is it? And I'm thinking we're spirit, we're soul, and we're a body. And all these things need to be taken care of. And I'm studying scripture. And I want to show you somebody. Jesus at the age of 12. Everybody say 12. Come on, all the campuses. Everybody together, say 12. How old was Jesus? 12. It says in Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor of God. All of a sudden I'm laughing because I realize out back some of the people were telling me they were watching this on the screen, and all apparently the screenshot shows is from this part up. And somebody thought, what is Steve doing wiggling his hips his whole sermon? Because they didn't see the bike underneath me, and it just looked like I was doing, for goodness sake, you do the hippie, hippie shake. So I don't know what screenshot we got today, but I'm on a bicycle if you don't know what's going on, and I'm not just up here wiggling my hips. All right. Funny the things you think about while you're preaching, isn't it? They were all laughing out back, saying how stupid I looked. Or how funny I looked, at least. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor of God, and the favor of man. How you doing, Josh? You okay?
Good.
How many calories? You're sweating, buddy. Look at you. You are sweating. You notice I haven't even broke a sweat on the bike here, Josh. I've got this on the hardest intensity. I've got this on a 16-degree hill incline, and I'm just going strong, just saying. How are you doing, buddy? You're doing, come on, encourage Josh. He's doing good. So here we go. Let me break this down for you real quick, real simple. Four things that Jesus increased in at the age of 12. And I think if Jesus increased in these four areas, I think we should be intentional about them as well, don't you? And I want to just say it one more time. I want to emphasize he was 12. Everybody say he was 12. And I want you to catch this because this is important. Oh, I almost fell out of the bike right there. He was 12 years of age, and the Bible says he increased in wisdom. So I looked that word up to see what it literally means. And what it literally means is this. It is the residing of the mind. It is actually his intellect. That Jesus increased in his intelligence. Now, I'm all for parents wanting their young people to get good grades at school. You with me here? But I want to encourage you when it comes to developing young people, and frankly, when it comes to developing anybody, that actually that intellect is important, but not at the expense of a development of a physical being as well. And actually, it says he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor of God. And I know some parents, when it comes to connect groups and Bible studies, say to their kids, I don't want you going to connect group. I want you in a sports thing, and I want you doing your homework, and I want you in extracurricular studies. And they actually hold back their young people from being in a Bible study. And I'm thinking, you need to look at this model that Jesus increased in. Because he increased in all four. Amen? And one didn't sacrifice the other. To be honest with you, that is our youth philosophy of this church. Well, I want parents to know that if you send your young people to our youth group, we are committed to teaching and promoting all four of these areas, all increasing at the same time. So why wouldn't you send your young person to a youth group that's encouraging your young people to do well at school? Why wouldn't you send your young person to a youth group that's encouraging their social life, the favor of man? Why wouldn't you send your children to a youth group that is encouraging people to increase in your spiritual life, which is the favor of God? Why wouldn't you send your young person to a youth group that's encouraging them to actually increase in their mind and their thinking and also their stature? But the word Jesus increased in wisdom, literally, listen to what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 46. And after these days, they found him, Jesus, the age of 12, in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard them were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Can I say, it is the will of God for every person here, no matter how old you are, that we keep learning. That we stay open to allow people to teach us and to train us. You remember, the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength. Sometimes the best people that can teach you are children. I want to say, sometimes I meet pastors and they say, oh, nobody can teach me anything about church. I've been a leader for 30 years. No, you've been a leader for 1 year and you just repeated the same thing for the last 29. We've got to make sure that we're committed to increasing in our minds, in our knowledge. Did you know one of the ways you increase in your knowledge and your intellect is by being in church? Did you know that? It is statistically proven that a person that regularly goes to church has a higher IQ than the national average American that does not go to church. Well, you say, well, how would that be? To me, it makes total sense. Because when you come to church, you're hearing the wisdom of the Word of God. You've got an edge. You've got someone opening the Bible to you, teaching you. And the Bible says, listen to this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So just being here today, you're already smarter than the national average person. I'm just saying. You're being taught life skills from the Word of God. And we got to be people who are willing to grow. Amen. Everybody can teach you something. Don't ever think you've arrived. Let's be people like Jesus. It says here, I love this verse, Acts chapter 4. It says, speaking of the disciples, it says, and they saw the courage that Peter and John, and they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you know the Bible says that these people here, it says, we realized these men are unschooled. They're ordinary. But the fact that they were with Jesus made them extraordinary. Can I tell you something? One of the things I want to encourage you to do, I'm all for getting an education. Praise God. Josh this year, actually next month, is graduating. Finally. Praise the Lord. I'm all for a degree. But let me tell you something. If you don't have one, can I tell you, if you've got Jesus, you've already got a great head start. Come on, somebody say amen. It says, these are unschooled men. We know they're unschooled. We know they're just ordinary men. But man, they've been around Jesus, and look at their boldness. They're extraordinary. They've got profound wisdom. Because let me tell you, when you're with God and when you're with Jesus and when you're in the house of God, you're learning wisdom every week. You've got an advantage. Amen. So Jesus increased in wisdom. Secondly, he increased in stature. This has two meanings to it. This word, it means his physical being was increasing. Think about it. At the age of 12, he was learning his dad how to be a carpenter. In those days, there were no power tools. He picked up the lumber and the wood. He cut them out. He chiseled them out. I think Jesus, even at the age of 12, was a strapping, strong young boy. I mean, he increased in stature, his physical development. But not only his physical development, but it also means stature, also means his integrity. And there's a second area I want to talk to you about, your personal best. Come on, let's make sure that we have, learning's not over. Let's make sure that, you know, college is not just something we did 20 years ago. Let's be stay committed to getting better knowledge. How can I do better in my company? How can I improve the product? How can I make this even better? How can I get smarter? How can I stay on the front edge? Let's be sons of Issachar. We understand the time. We understand the seasons. We don't want to be some old company that's so lost touch with reality that we're out of business. We want to stay on the front edge. We want to be prophetic. We want to keep on learning. Amen. But we also want to develop in our physical being. We want a personal best there, don't we? We need to take care of our bodies. Thank you for the underwhelming response. You know, we need to take care of ourselves. Why not live long and be healthy? I want to go on rides to Disney World with my children, with my grandchildren. I'll go on with them as well. But I want to go with my I want to be the guy out in the backyard. My name's Skipper. That's what my grandkids are going to call me. It's what my grandson calls me because I love boating. And I'm Skipper. We took Jax out on the boat yesterday. It was awesome. He loved it. And then a helicopter flew 20 feet right above us on the water and buzzed right past us. How awesome is that? And I want to be the guy that can still push the boat out. I want to be the guy that can go in the backyard and play catch. I don't want to be some wheelchair-bound, you know, immobile grandparent that can just watch them. I want to be alive and strong and interactive. I want to be there. You got to learn how to delay gratification. You got to learn how to manage your time. I'd encourage you. Come on, let's believe God for a personal best. If you're not used to getting out and exercising, try it. Set a new personal best. Just 2-3 times a week, just walk for 20 minutes. Start like me in the pool, 16 laps. That's all I could do. But praise God, having done 16 laps and going back time after time, I'm getting better at it. I'm encouraging you. Come on, let's believe God. Don't just start with the impossible. Just do something today that'll help get you to where you want to go. Come on, somebody say amen. Your physical fitness, listen to this. Think about different athletes and that have got incredible physical athletic accomplishment. You know what I mean? Think about Tiger Woods, and I'm not a Tiger Woods basher at all. But think about Tiger Woods. I hate it when people bash Tiger. Can we please show a little love and a little grace? And, you know, can we just show a little, you know? But here's the thing. Talk to Tiger now about his stature, his physical being as a golfer. Incredible. But here the Bible says Jesus increased in stature, and that word stature means not just his physical being, but his integrity. Talk to Tiger and ask Tiger if he could have a do-over, what would he do differently? He would have been as intentional in developing his character and his integrity as he was his skill on the golf course. That's all I'm trying to say. Come on, let's set some personal best for us. Come on, somebody say amen. See, your physical development will get you and promote you to great places, but it's your character that'll keep you there. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Okay, here's the next one. Increase in the favor of God. That's the spiritual aspect of Christ. Listen, Jesus had a spiritual life that was increasing. He had a mental life that was increasing. He had a physical life and character that was increasing, but he had a spiritual life. And I meet some Christians, and all they have is a spiritual life, and frankly, they have no life outside their spiritual life. Well, what I want to say to you is you need to get a life. You know what I mean? If all you do is pray and all you do, that's all you, and you got no unchurched friends, you need to get out. If all you do is read your Bible, I mean, I'm all for reading your Bible, but I want to say to you, come on, let's read books and knowledge about our craft and our skill, where we are working and how can we do this better? Come on. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's be healthy. Let's be vibrant. Let's look at the food we eat, the places we go, the people we eat with, because they often determine your eating habits. And if they got the same eating habits as you, you may want to change where you go. You may even want to change who you go with. I'm not saying change your friend, but just, okay, when it comes to the social life, if I eat with them, we're going to go to McDonald's. So we're not going to do that. We're going to eat somewhere else. I remember one time I was with a Navy SEAL and we were having lunch together, and I ordered the cheeseburger and he ordered food that I knew not of. And he looked at me and he said to me, he goes, you know you're going to die eating that, don't you? And I looked at him, I said, yes, but I'll die happy. And he looked at me, and he had the salad, he had the vegetables, he had all the food you're supposed to eat. And I realized that one of the ways we're going to change is that sometimes we got to change where we eat, when we eat, who we eat with. Can we talk? Come on, someone say amen. And one of the things we've had to do is just get junk food out of the house. I do have one weakness, and that is Blue Bunny ice cream. Anybody have had Blue Bunny ice cream? Dear Jesus in heaven, I tell you that. But everything can be in moderation. So last night, my wife gave me a Blue Bunny ice cream sandwich. It's beautiful. And then my little grandson came over and took the whole thing right out of my hand. It was a sign from the Lord that I shouldn't have eaten it. And my little grandson ate the entire ice cream sandwich. That little pig. I thought he'd give some of it back to me. He devoured the whole thing. So I felt like I had permission last night to go back into the freezer and help myself to another Blue Bunny ice cream. Praise the Lord. Which I did. Praise the Lord. And enjoyed it. And now I'm under conviction just talking about it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe that's why I was on the bike this morning. Favor of God. What do you get? It's not how long do you pray? It's like, when you pray, do you meet Jesus? I mean, some people, they can pray themselves to unbelief. They can pray themselves. They can be praying about a sickness in their body, and they come to the conclusion, well, Lord, if this is your will and you're teaching me how to suffer, Lord, I'll just embrace it. No. It's never the will of God for you to suffer. It is never the will of God for you to be sick. It is never the will of God. Never, 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 never. You need to know it is the will of God for you to be healed. That doesn't mean you don't get sick, but you need to know the will of God. If healing people, listen, if sickness were the will of God, Jesus would never heal sick people. Because if the will of God was being sick and Jesus prayed people sick to get healed, he'd be praying against the will of God. It is the will of God. And I want to say to you, when you pray, it's not how much do you pray, it's what are you getting out of it. And when you read your Bible, some people, oh, I read the Bible every year from cover to cover. Awesome. What did you get out of it? So I'm disciplined. I applaud the discipline. But is it changing you? Come on. Let's go for some personal best here. When you pray, what does God say? When you read your Bible, does it change you? Does it enlighten you? Does it empower you? Because I want to talk to you about your spiritual life increasing. It's not how much more are you praying. It's what are you getting out of the prayer? It's not how much of the Bible do you read. How much of it do you understand? I'd rather read one verse and understand it than read a whole book. Amen? Anyway, that's my thought. Okay, let's keep going. And then the increase in the favor of man. The favor of man is a big one to me because that's your social life. And I know some people, and all they do is spend all their time developing their social life. And they have no development of their spiritual life. And all they want to do is play and have fun. And I know some people, all they want to do is develop their intellectual life and have no time for the spiritual life. But Jesus, at the age of 12, increased in all four. I want to talk to you about your personal best. What would it take? What could I say this morning that might motivate you to pick up a book and read it? I'm thinking about maybe how could you increase in all four? And I thought of it this morning. You could decide today, I'm going to get out of the house. I'm going to go for a walk for 20 minutes. Well, how many know that's developing your stature? Right there, just walking for 20. I'm going to get out of my house. I'm going to walk. And then at the same time, maybe you could pray, Lord, as I'm walking in my neighborhood, I might meet somebody. Well, now there's an opportunity to increase your social life. And then maybe what you might do is while you're walking, until that happens, you could actually download something that might be of use to you about enlarging and increasing your mind. You with me here? And then maybe what you could do is you could actually be praying. You could actually do all four at once. Because you hear this message and you don't think, I don't have time for all this. You just need some creativity. Amen? If you have no unchurch friends, you need a social life. Amen? You're just a prisoner within a religious culture. We didn't make sure we have people who don't yet know Jesus. But don't be so hell-bent on having unsaved friends and social life that you got no time for God. Jesus increased in all four. I'm here to stir you about your personal best. Come on, take a look at this and ask yourself, where do you need to improve? You know, this last week, I've been doing a bit of flying. I've been staying home a lot more. This is my first two Sundays I've been away all year, was these last 2 weeks. And so I'm thinking, Lord, I want to make sure I'm doing my personal best as the pastor of Wave Church, reaching out to unchurched people. I preach every Sunday. People get saved every week in this church, but that's not me witnessing to people personally. You know what I mean? I need to make sure as a pastor, I'm being a good example. So a few weeks ago, I'm in Bluefin Restaurant, best sushi in Virginia Beach, in my opinion, right there. It's a hole in the wall, not the most attractive looking stall, but it's the best food you'll ever eat, sushi, and I love sushi. And I'm sitting at the bar waiting to have my to-go food so I can bring it home to eat with my wife. And there's a guy sitting next to me, and we get talking. I invite him to church. It was just a few weeks ago. I said, man, you ought to come to church. You'd love it. And so I saw him this morning in the New People's Lounge, and he gave his life to Jesus right out there. He says, do you remember me? I said, yeah, you look familiar. He goes, Bluefin. I said, you work at Movement Mortgage. And he was supposed to come to church the week before, and he didn't end up going. And then here I am sitting next to him in a bar at the sushi restaurant. And I said, well, I think maybe God's saying, come on, man, get yourself to church. Well, he came this morning, gave his life to Christ. This week on a plane, I got on a plane. I'm a bit tired. It was an early morning flight. And I said, Lord, please, I put my little headphones on. And I'm listening to an audio book. I'm trying to develop my mind, my intellect. It was a good book. It was a technical book. And this lady said, excuse me, can you please not sit there? Can my husband sit there? We're traveling together. And of course, you're never going to say no to that. And so I said, sure, no problem. So I'm sitting next to this other guy, and this guy starts talking to me, and I'm thinking, oh God, I just want some sleep. And so he says, and he heard my accent. He goes, where are you from? I said, I'm from Australia. He goes, my wife just got a job in the U.S. Embassy in Canberra. We're moving to Australia. I just got off the phone to her and told her I don't want to move to Australia and I don't want to go. And I just got off the phone. It got very tense. and he says, God, if you want me to go to Australia, give me a sign. God had to reorganize seats to get me to, I wasn't supposed to sit next to him. The flight attendant was Australian. And we get talking. He says, what do you do? I said, I pastor a church. Now, he's an FBI guy. He actually is the guy that is the bomb technician that does the post-analysis of every bomb, like September the 11th and the Boston bomber and the US Cole. He's the guy that did the investigations about those things. And I'm having this wonderful interaction with this guy. Well, thankfully, because I pastor a church in Virginia Beach, we've got a few EOD people that I know, and I was able to have a reasonably intelligent conversation with him and was able to talk to him about how much he's going to love Australia in spite of all his fears of the snakes and the spiders, that it's not really as bad as what would make it sound like. And at the end of it all, he goes, this is an answer to prayer. I'm excited. I think maybe we could have just helped the marriage. So then I get on the next plane. It's a little short flight, this one going in the Norfolk. I said, God, please, no more. Now, I'm on the plane. I just want to sleep. And the same thing happened. Excuse me, I'm traveling with a husband. I said, all right. And so what do you do? Where are you from? Oh, I'm Australia. The accent is Australia. And where do you live? I said, I live in Virginia Beach. Well, you live in Norfolk. They said, are you the pastor of that Wave Church? I said, yeah. They said, we live in Norfolk. This must be a God thing. We're kind of wondering, and it's so nice to meet you. We've often wondered what you're like. I don't know what perception they had of me. They said, you're a really nice young man. What I liked about that was the young man part. Come on, let's believe God for a personal best and our favor with man. Come on, at work, believe God that God will favor and God will give you the favor of man, that he'll bring the right people to you to help your job get done. The right partners, the right employees, the favor of man, the right relationships that'll help you get to where God's called you to go. Favor of man, just be a people magnet. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. Believe God for it. Believe God for the favor of God, favor of man. Believe God to increase in your stature. Come on, get healthy. Get stronger. I'm not trying to set some lofty goal that's ridiculous. How you doing, by the way, Josh? You okay? Praise the Lord. I just feel like I should just keep preaching to help keep you fit. Come on, give Josh a hand. He did good, didn't he?
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.